Father, as always, Lord, we thank you. As we come together, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and it gives understanding to this simple. And we stand in declaration of your word today that we may receive the light and understanding into our hearts. And grant us the Holy Spirit of fellowship with us here today, even in fellowship. Praise the Lord. Give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So, faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But first, let me read or say, because I think I know how to say it now, our memory verse that led to this series, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, faith is part of that list. And counting from left to right, see that it's in number 7 position there. And there's a couple more to go after that. It's listed in that combination of these attributes that's called the, together called the fruit of the Spirit. Faith today, and if you take a look, a closer look at the subject title of today's lesson, the way I wrote it shows that we're going to give an acronym for faith. Okay, so I wrote it as F-A-I-T-H. Well, that is faith, actually. So we're going to talk about that. It's a deep subject. Broad, very broad. I don't think that I can finish this one in one day. Otherwise, this room will run very long, but we're not going to do that. I've been trying to finish each of those attributes, take them in one day, and maybe come back for a review or whatever. But this one, I'm not sure how long. It may take 2 days or whatever. We'll see. But anyway, let's start off with some definitions for faith, you know, according to, you know, both contemporary, you know, dictionary and also the scriptures. Let's look at what they have to say about it. Well, according to contemporary dictionary, faith can be taken as a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Well, in religious circles, the dictionary says it's a strong belief in God, you know, or doctrines of a religion, etc., based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And this is in the dictionary. This is great. You know, strong belief in God or in the doctrines, well, they call it religion, but anyway, based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. I like that part of it. You know, it's a comprehension and apprehension and understanding, a deep insight that God might give. You know, it's not based on proof initially, but later on you find that you can actually, by faith, this same faith, you know, prove certain things. Like God said, you know, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. But we'll take it slowly and see what all the scripture has to say about faith. Now, some of these, if you studied ahead yourself, you've heard or seen or known. And if you've been in this on this platform for any length of time, you've heard before, but it is such a subject that you cannot hear too much about it. You know, from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, there's a whole chapter, just like love. You know, we see that 1 Corinthians 13 was devoted to love, you know, but it doesn't have quite as many verses as Hebrews 11 that was devoted to faith. I mean, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 was devoted to the subject of faith. And not only that, Christ, in many of his dealings with with his disciples, always trying to teach them faith. And that Hebrews 11, about 40 verses or so, all of it on the subject of faith. That's a lot. And we'll look at the things that Christ had to say about faith and see how we can, you know, energize our faith. So this is it's a great, great, great subject, the subject of faith. All right. As you think of faith, well, what comes to mind? And this F-A-I-T-H attribute or acronym that I put out there, I'm going to give it to you here. Some of you might remember. We've talked about this before. And I like this one. There's several acronyms of faith that you might find, but I like this one: fully and intentionally trusting him. F-A-I-T-H. And we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the fully part. We'll also be talking about the intentional part, you know, because everything about faith is, it's got to be intentional. Praise the Lord. And we have to do it fully as well. So let's see how the scripture defines it for us. Now, faith in Hebrews 11 and 1 is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. So, in fact, you can say that your faith is the evidence of your hope. You can just put it that way. What you're hoping for, faith is the evidence that you got it, you know, or that you will have it. Praise the Lord. Without faith, you know, I don't think hope is going to work very much. You can be hoping, but if you don't have faith that God is either able to do it or that you will ever get there, I don't know that you may get there. So hope is good, faith, you got to have it. And one time I defined, you know, faith, you know, as what sees the promises of God afar off, and believing is what gets you there. Now, so faith and believing work together, but believing is more like faith in action or faith with action. And that's where the fully and intentionally part comes from. So faith will see the promises of God afar off. We're going to talk about that. Believing will get you there. So we want to make sure we understand how that works. Once you get a hold of it, it's so powerful. Praise God. Now, let's look at how does faith come? Well, according to the scriptures in Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time you hear the word of God or you read it, it has the capacity to generate faith. You know, just by reading it or by hearing it, it has that capacity. But you got to embrace it, really, what it says. But, you know, hearing it alone can even bring a blessing. You just know that God is speaking to you. There's a scripture in Revelation 1 and 3 that says, you know, blessed are those that, you know, read or hear the words of this prophecy. I mean, so just for reading it or hearing it, it could be a blessing, you know. So faith is what, you know, gets that thing going, the word of God going in our lives. Faith sees the promises of God afar off, but believing gets you there. Now, here is another thing it says about faith. Everybody, really, has faith. You know, everybody. Now, whether it's faith in God, that's a different story, but everybody has faith. In fact, the scripture says in Romans 12 and 3 that everybody has been dealt the measure of faith. And we all have faith. And we exhibit faith every day. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. That can be a form of faith. You know, when you just take things for granted, it's a form of faith. We don't think about it, but, you know, we just do it. You can drive your car across the bridge. You don't think that the bridge is going to collapse and you end up at the bottom of the river or something, you know, but you know, there are many other things throughout the day that we do, you know, in your house, it's dark, you come into a room, the first thing you do is reach for the light switch. You're expecting that that light switch will work as intended. We do these things without thinking about them. We just do them, you know. So it's a form of faith that, you know, we just believe, you know. Many of us can't really see electricity, but we've learned to believe in it. You know, you can even use this wonderful device that's called the phone. And it can carry your voice across the world, really. You know, you can talk to somebody. There's technology in between, you know, but just think of one person holding a device and another person holding a device, you know, thousands of miles apart. You can speak to each other. Sometimes, you know, you can even use video and see them. Yeah. All this, you know, technology and things that we've come to rely upon, we just assume they're going to work most of the time. You know, that's an element of faith in a way. And the very, very little things that we do, climb the staircase in your house, you know, you're not expecting it to collapse under you and so forth. You just go in there, try to lay down your bed, sit on a chair, etc. You're not expecting those things to fall apart. You just do it. You know, so those are, it's all around us. And the Bible says every man's been dealt a measure of faith, according to Romans 12 and 3. Now, it is really, there are a few things in the Bible when you're talking about God and impossible that, you know, they come in the same sentence. You know, faith is one of those things where it says it is impossible to please God without faith. It's just impossible. You can't do it. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we're told that, you know, by faith, I mean, of course, that whole chapter, and I will get into different parts of that chapter later. But by faith, you know, one, this thing happened and that thing happened. By faith, we understand this and so on and so forth. And then by faith and so on. You know, when he talked about Enoch, you know, walked with God and was translated. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. And then he went on and said, but without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I mean, so even in the testimony of Enoch, you know, that he pleased the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For those that come to God must believe that God is, and that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, it is impossible. You can't do it. You know, you cannot please the Lord. And we know that we were created for his pleasure. That's why, you know, faith is so vital. If you don't have faith, you really can't please the Lord. But why is it that it is necessary for us to please the Lord? Well, let's look at Revelation 11 and verses 10 and 11. Revelation 4, I mean, verses 10 and 11. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. And the four and 20 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we exist at his pleasure and for his pleasure. And if that's the purpose, then, you know, and we can't really please him without faith, then we need to make sure we have that faith. So you can't please him. Praise the Lord. And so how do we, what are the things that we can understand about faith? I mean, by now, for those who have been in this room, you should know quite a few things about faith. But you can actually develop yourself into what I like to call a faith SME, that's a subject matter expert. Because faith actually is not arbitrary, and it's not a guess or hit and miss. It can be seen as an exact science. If you know how to walk it, it always works. And we're going to show that in this lesson. Now, we know that it is part of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also the one part of the fruit of the Spirit that it can also be rolled up into what you call a spiritual gift. You know, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he talked about to one is given this, to another is given that by the same Spirit, and so on. It comes down to chapter verse 9, it says, you know, to another is given faith by the Spirit, same Spirit. So we see that there is a gift of faith too, you know, which is a spiritual gift, different from this one, but it's the same thing, really. It's just a different capacity of this that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But everybody has it, whether you have the gift of faith or regular faith. Everybody has some kind of faith. Now, what's the difference between what I call the regular faith versus the gift of faith? Think of it this way. And I mean, every one of us is familiar with cars and gas stations and things like that. Either we own a car or we've been driven in a car. So everybody's familiar with it. And you must put gas in your car to drive that car. You can't go anywhere without it. You know, and there are these gas stations that you find all over the place. They have these massive, you know, gas and oil tankers. Some of them contain, you know, megatons of gasoline that they have to come and put in to, you know, fill up the place to service the customers. Well, think of the gift of faith like that, you know, 18-wheeler oil tanker or gasoline tanker that brings gasoline to the gas station to fill up, you know, so that you can go there. I mean, if they run out of gas, you won't have anything. So these things will come there perhaps in the evening or night when nobody is there. But occasionally you might see them. But they come there, they supply, and, you know, they've got, you know, these reservoirs, you know, buried deep under the ground. They put all these things there. They're fortified so it doesn't seep out. And then they channel them into the gas pumps, and then, you know, it's metered out so you can buy your gas and so on. But everybody knows what I'm talking about. But that very gasoline, 18-wheeler, huge, massive truck that contains all this gas, in Africa or Nigeria, I call it petrol. You know, that's going to supply to the gas stations or petrol stations. Think of it this way. That vehicle itself has a little tank and it itself needs gasoline, even though it's carrying all this gasoline that it's going to go supply to the gas station. If within itself, it doesn't have gas in its own tank, it's not going anywhere, even though it's carrying all that gasoline. So that's the way I describe the difference or the comparison between regular faith, which is what that big tanker needs in its own tank, and what it is carrying. So even the gift of faith will be operated by regular faith. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, the gift of faith is powerful. It doesn't think about it. It just says it and does it and moves on. That's it. Done. End of story. You know, but even that, as powerful as it is, and if you know how to walk it, God will honor that man's word as though it was his own. Yeah, that's so powerful. He just drops it and it goes on, and God will honor it. You know, but for it to work, even as massive as it is, it's got to have that little faith behind it. So everything, even that massive gift of faith, needs that little faith. Now, that's a comparison between the two. So you got that. Now, there are lessons from Genesis that we began to see, you know, about faith. Starting from Abraham, you know, God began to deal with him and told him certain things, you know, and eventually, well, we learned that, you know, he believed God, you know, for some things that God told him. And we now refer to him as the father of faith and so forth. But there were people before Abraham. Some people think that even the scripture calls him father of faith. Well, just because he's related to that channel of the Jews. But I guarantee you, way before Abraham, Enoch had this faith. You know, because my father, that's the one that we just read in the Hebrews 11. That Enoch, by faith, he walked with God. And God took him. He was translated. But before this translation, he has his testimony. He had a testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Even so, even though we didn't learn too much about Enoch, we see in this summary of Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, that Enoch actually had faith. Because he could not have pleased God for that translation without faith. Now, his faith was way beyond his time. And some elements that we have learned about Enoch. I've told this untold story in Genesis about Enoch many times. I call it untold story because, you know, you have to kind of read between the lines to get it. But I guarantee you, these things did happen, even though they are not recorded in those fine details. Details such as, you know, those generations that came, you know, after Adam, you know, and, you know, Adam had, you know, two sons initially. One killed the other, then he had another son. You know, Cain killed Abel. And then they had Seth. And so God, you know, began the generations with Seth. You know, Cain was called, you know, this child of the devil, basically. Jesus referred to him as the one who was of that wicked one. That's a mystery about how he came. I'll leave that one alone. Anyway, starting from Seth and on, the various people that came there, they would have asked some questions of Adam. And that's the untold story part. And I've told the story that every one of those people, they asked Adam the same questions that Enoch asked. You know, Enoch was a seventh generation from him. You know, but, you know, and Adam would probably have said the same thing to each one because, you know, everybody would have been curious, you know, about, I mean, what happened? Why are these cherubims here with the flaming sword? I mean, what's in that place? Why can't we go in there? They would have been curious because they were free to wander around everywhere. But there was one place that was courted off, you know, fenced off or something, and they would not be allowed to go in there. I mean, it's like, why not? I mean, well, why can't we get in there? So they might have asked those questions, you know. And the way I visualized it one day when the Lord was showing to me was that, look, you know, Seth had those questions. Enos had those questions. Canaan had those questions. Mahaliel had those questions. And, you know, even after Mahaliel, yeah, Jared had the same questions. And Jared finally came to Enoch. And everybody might have had the same questions. But one person, think about it. What was it that made him go the extra mile? Because he did go the extra mile. He had to have gone the extra mile in order for him to have been translated when all the others behind him, I mean, before him were not. There was one person that say, hey, I don't know whether they called him grandpa or whatever back in the day, but whatever he said to him, what's up with that, these things, you know, the fire and the circling around and so forth. What's in there? Got the same answers like everybody else. But, you know, unlike the others before him, where they said, oh, that's an amazing story. He just walked away. He had no impact in them. This one, it did have impact in him. And he wanted a little bit more. Come back for some more all the time. Yeah. What's up with that? You know, I need to go in there. Well, son, you can't go in there. Why not? You don't have children ask questions. Why not? Well, because, you know, God said so. He drove us out. But why? 20 questions, you know. I said, told him, I said, well, you mean you had all that power? I mean, you could talk to animals. I mean, you could go under the sea. Everything you said, they did. He said, yeah. You gave all that up? Well, so, well, you know, we made a mistake. Well, did you ask God for forgiveness? No, because God said we're going to die. You mean you're just going to sit around and wait to die? I said, well, God said we're going to die. I can't believe that you just would stay there and want to die. Did you ask him for forgiveness? He said, no. I said, well, you know, I'm going to go in there. Son, you can't go in there. You know, so, well, we'll find out. We'll see about that. If I can't go in there, whatever is in there is coming out to me. One way or another, I'm going to figure this thing out. You know, that's some relentless kind of faith, you know, and he knew, you know, because Adam told him, we're waiting to die. So we're just going to sit around and wait to die. He knew they're going to wait to die because that's what Adam said. Well, the Lord said, we're going to die. I said, well, but you're not dead yet. He said, yeah, but we're going to die, you know, because he told us we're going to die, you know. So, well, we'll see about that. So he started to try to figure something out. And they were in darkness and death, but it was in his heart. There was faith in his heart. We believe that he can transcend all of that. You know, so the Bible doesn't say much about him, but, you know, he had tremendous faith that could cause him to outpace death. That's basically what it is. He outpaced death. He was being translated from darkness to light, from glory to glory, and getting closer and closer to that light. And one day, and it was completely light. He was gone. It's just that simple. But it took faith to do that. And the whole time he was married, just like everybody else, and had children, sons and daughters. But that didn't prevent him from walking with God. At the day he was leaving, you know, the wife or children couldn't hold him back. You know, and he's gone. Until this day, he's still alive. He never died. You know, there's an evidence, there's, you know, in the scriptures that God can translate people alive from this earth without dying. And Enoch was the first. And we're told that he had faith. So you can see how powerful faith can be, even for translation, even for walking with God. And this room or this platform is titled after Enoch. That's why I always get so excited when I talk about him. This walking with God title for this house is taken after Enoch, I said. Maybe I said Adam, but I meant Enoch. Taken after Enoch, because he walked with God. Hallelujah. But to walk with God, you got to have that faith, just like he did. So, you can see why already faith is so, so powerful. But let's get back to the subject of faith. We're trying to dissect, you know, pieces of it. See, we figured out, you know, how you can get faith is by hearing the word of God, listening to it, you know, digesting it, you know, developing it within yourself, you know, meditating on it, reading it, hearing it. You know, that's how you develop faith, according to Romans 10 and 17. You got to hear the word. You got to, you know it also in order for you to develop faith around it. Now, but we see that there is much more to faith. You know, let's look at some, you know, things. You know, God called, I mean, later on we're told in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, that Abraham was the father of faith because he believed God. But I've shown you that there was someone before him that even believed God. And to an extent that even Abraham could not achieve. Abraham died, just like everybody else till this day. And some of them, you know, most of them died. Enoch did not. Elijah did not. There might have been a few others too, which you don't know about. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's not everything that has happened in this world that we know about. You know, so, you know, sometimes when people argue about things, I just laugh. Just because you don't know doesn't mean it didn't happen. You know, I may not be able to prove it, but you can't disprove it either. You know, so, you know, there might be people that could have left this earth without seeing death, you know, because Jesus even spoke about it himself. We don't know. I mean, the scripture is silent about most of those things, you know, and he said, look, there be some of you standing here that will not see of death, taste death until you see the kingdom of God come in his power. Some people say it was the Holy Ghost that came. Well, maybe, but who knows? Yeah, you know, you never can tell. But at least the one that is written in the scriptures, we know of Enoch and we know of Elijah. And these people, powerful, powerful faith. You know, we'll see some stories about Elijah later on. Now, Jesus taught a lot about faith, you know, all the time to his disciples. You know, he was constantly, you know, trying to teach them about faith. Many, many parts of that, of those gospels, talk about faith. But let me call out this one that I call triple action faith. This is how Jesus taught it. So triple action faith. Now, it's spelled A-S-K. Now, A-S-K, actually, and you know I like to play with words and acronyms and letters. A-S-K actually spells ask. You know, A-S-K, if you want to spell ask, that's how it's spelled. A-S-K, that's ask. But Jesus used it in triple action faith. He said, this is how your faith works. The A itself is for ask. The S is for seek. And the K is for knock. And so it's a compound prophetic word within itself. Because he said it this way. In Matthew 7 verses 7 to 8, he said, ask and you shall receive. Well, A is for ask. Seek, that's S, and you shall find. Knock, that's K, and it shall be opened unto you. You put those A-S-K together, it actually spells ask. You know, and so he was teaching these things, and I remember I was probably 19 or 20, because I know where I was at the time. I was in a place called Ferrasco Science in Lagos, when the Lord first gave me the revelation of this Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. And also, particularly, it said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And I said, my goodness. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. And I said, come on now. Everyone? And he said, yeah. I said, well, why is it that, you know, we don't get it then? I said, well, no, everyone does get it. I said, well, I got to figure that one out, you know. So, you know, when you read the scriptures, and this is what I try to tell people, if you don't understand it, you know, you've got to go in with the assumption that the scripture is correct and it's accurate. And then you try to figure it out with the help of the Spirit. But don't say, I don't know that. That doesn't sound right. And you toss it out. And you'll never figure it out. You'll never get past that point. And the same thing when you read two scriptures that look like they contradict each other. You got to go in with the assumption that they can never contradict each other. So you go in with that premise. And then you try to figure out, you know, why does it look like it's not saying what it's saying? You know, and then you try to figure it out. And I'm like, well, because so I know that when God said it, I know it's true, but it doesn't look true. So I got to figure it out. This was the thing that, you know, started me on the journey of understanding faith. I tell you, it's been a journey of 50 years. My goodness. And the Lord, you know, once you are curious like that and you want to learn, you come to the Lord, he'll show you things. He told Jeremiah, he said, call unto me. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, you know, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. I mean, this man already knew a lot of things. He was a prophet and so on. But the Lord told him, look, I'm going to show you things that you don't even know, but you got to come, you know. So when we come to the Lord, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, he will show you, he will teach you, he will guide you, he will do all these things. So I began to ask the Lord, you know, well, what does it mean that everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be open? I said, it doesn't look like that, you know. And the Lord said, yeah. But you are going to have to find out what that all means. And I started to dig and search. And many years later, here we are. I do understand it. But I tell you what, and some of it I will share with you in this lesson. You know, so, but Jesus, let's leave it at that for now. Jesus, he always said that, you know, again in Luke chapter 11, he was talking about, you know, similar things in verses 9 to 13. In this place, he added, you know, Luke added a few more things. He said, look, you know, which of you will, you know, you're being a parent or a father, the son comes to you and asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? You know, or if he asks you for egg, will you give him a scorpion? And if he asks you for fish, will you give him a serpent? Say no. Well, he then turned around to them and said, well, if you being evil, you know how to say and do good things to your children, well, how much more will your father in heaven, you know, but even in that lesson, there are some things that we see. When Jesus said, if your son would ask you for bread, would you give him a stone? Of course, we know the answer is no. Well, there's a secret lesson or hidden lesson, I should say, even in that very statement. You know, that means the son, when it comes, you know, this all is about teaching of faith. It's what Jesus was teaching. Even the son must come and ask for something specific. You know, this is all about faith. And I'm going to be talking about that. You cannot just come to your father and, I mean, you could, you know, and if the son came to the father and said, give me something, and the father gave him a stone, the father will be in his right because he said something. But Jesus brought it out in a way to show us that, you know, we have to be specific when we are asking. This triple action faith, ask, seek, and knock. You got to be specific on the ask. You can't just say, could God give me something? Well, God might give you something which maybe not what you're looking for. You know, so be specific. Ask for bread. Then you will not get a stone. But if you ask for something, you might get a stone because stone is something. You know, so ask, be specific. That's why we make lists. That's why we ask God specific in what you ask. You know, sometimes people say, Lord, bless me. Well, yeah, we know that. He has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. So exactly what you want. See, all these random, you know, broad, generic prayers, they may not really do anything. You got to learn in this lesson. I'm going to show you how to be specific. You know, specific. What would you like the Lord to do for you? Say it. Praise God. You know, one time there was some, you know, blind man that came to Jesus crying, "Lord, have mercy upon us." Jesus said, "Well, what would you like me to do for you?" He already knew they were blind. What kind of question is that? Well, he said, "Lord, that we may receive our sight." Well, okay, then fine. Receive your sight then. If they had said, "Lord, bless us," they would have said, "Well, you are blessed." Yeah, I don't know. But they were specific that we may receive our sight. So when we come to God, we have to be specific. Can't just, you know, throw things out there that we don't. I mean, if you're not specific, how would you even know when God did it? Because you don't even know what to look for. So we got to be specific. Now, ask, you must ask. Seek, you must seek. Knock, you must knock. And this means that, you know, sometimes we got to do all three things or three types of actions on pursuit in order to get what we are. Consider someone who's looking for a job, for instance. Well, you want a job. You can stay in your room and pray all day that you get a job. You're not going to get that job. That's not how it works. You know, there's some things you got to do. You know, this is just wisdom. You know, so you got to figure out, you know, who's hiring. You got to seek it out. And sometimes you got to go knock. Sometimes you got to prepare your resume. Sometimes you got to go attend some interviews and do these things. You know, sometimes even in the summer, there's some neighborhood stores that just, you know, this is for teenagers and stuff. They just put a sign on their door. They may not advertise in the internet or anything, but it may just be on their door. Now hiring, you know, through the end of the summer or this and that and so on. You know, well, you're not going to see it if you stay in your room all day long. You drive around, you're looking for it. You see one that's in there, you go in there and knock. Say, "Hey, you know, I see a sign." You know, inquire within. "Hey, now, come here to inquire. Well, what you got?" You know, I mean, these are all ask, seek, and knock. The stuff we got to do. Faith is all about doing. You know, once you understand what it is that God has said, it's all about doing something about it. It's not just about, we'll talk more about that. It's not just about sitting back and thinking something's going to fall into your lap. That's not how it works. Now, you know, let's talk about some attributes of faith. You know, faith, you got to be tenacious in your ask. You got to be, you know, and when you're declaring the things, you got to be resilient, persistent. I mean, so many things that we have to say about that. You got to be tenacious, but you must ask in faith. But let's look at some people who are, you know, tenacious in the Bible. They would not give up, no matter what happened. You know, Jesus himself told these stories. We talked about it even the other day. In Luke chapter 18, he told the story of this woman, verses 1 to 8, who came to this judge. And we're praying about it just, I don't know, what, just yesterday or the other day. And she was asking, and the man wouldn't do anything at first, but she kept asking. And the only way to get rid of him or her was for the man to just do what she wants. You know, that's the only way you're going to get rid of her. But she kept asking. She was determined. She would not give up. She would not give in. She would not let any circumstances, you know, or anything, you know, she was persistent. You know, and Jesus told this other story in Luke chapter 11. And these are popular stories in the Bible of the man, you know, went to his friend to say, "Hey, look, you know, I've got a visitor from out of town. The stores are now closed. I can't get anything to, and I'm out of supplies. Can I have a loaf of bread? I'll give you back in the morning." The man says, "Go away. My children are in bed." But the one that's at the door, he keeps knocking. And the one that's inside, Jesus said, and you read the story the way Jesus said these things, you know. He said, "Look, this man that's inside is not just going to," Luke chapter, you know, 11 verses 5 to 8. You can read the story. "He's not just going to, you know, get up and give him what he wants because he's his friend. He already told him, 'Go away. You know, we're in bed already.' The reason he's going to get up and give him what he wants is to get rid of him. Because if he doesn't, this man's going to wake up his house. The man is at the door. He's not leaving. He knocks. You get an answer. I say, no. He knocks some more. He begins to knock louder. This man, if he wants his children to sleep, better quickly get up and go and give this man the thing and get him out of there. And Jesus told all these stories. I mean, this is amazing. What do you think he's saying? You know, Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 to 7 tells us the same thing. You know, behold, I've set watchmen upon your walls. You know, ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. That's right. The scripture tells us these things. Give the Lord no rest until he establishes the thing that you are believing and asking him for. The scripture gives us this thing. But some people, you know, they don't understand it. They just pray once and they move on. Well, if you have the gift of faith, maybe. But, and I guarantee you, you have to stay right there with the thing. You know, bug him today, bug him tomorrow. You know, bug him all day long. Jesus said it. It's okay to do it. He even gave us teaching about doing it. So that's how we do it. Faith is resilient. It's persistent. Like you can't, you know, turn faith loose. You can't do it. You know, no matter what you say, real faith will... He will stay there. You can't shake him. You can't turn him loose. You know. So, there is a story in multiple places in the Bible. You know, but in Mark chapter 7, calls her the Syrophoenician woman. In another place, calls her a Greek woman, and so on. You know, but this woman, many of us know this story. I mean, she came to Jesus to ask her something, for her daughter and so forth. But the way she asks, you know, say, son of David and so forth. Jesus said, well, you can't call me son of David. That title can only be used by the house of Israel, you know. And I said, look, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And because right now I'm only sent to the house of Israel, not to the Gentile. And I mean, you would have thought that a saying like that would put this woman off. Today, People are not even told half anything that severe before they give up and turn away. They get offended and they leave. And Jesus was teaching us a story here. And, you know, this woman, there was nothing that Jesus was going to say that, you know, call her dog or anything you want. It doesn't matter. She's going to stick right there. You can read this story in Matthew 15, you know, verses 21 to 28. Also Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. In this, you know, Matthew 15 story, let's see some elements of faith here. This woman came crying to Christ, as we said, and Christ said, well, it's not proper. It's not appropriate. It's not meet for me to take the children's bread, you know, and give it, you know, unto dogs. You know, because so he's likening the children of Israel to the children and everybody else, you know, to dogs, pretty much. But the woman said, yeah, you know, see, this woman, she found a loophole. That's right. Found a loophole in what Jesus said. This woman could be a lawyer. Found a loophole. Dogs said, fine, you know, but dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. Yeah, let the children eat, you know, the bread. That's fine. The dog that's laying on the floor underneath the table is waiting for whatever will fall from the table. Say, that's good enough for the dog. My goodness. And when she said that one, of course, Jesus knew all of that, but, you know, he said all of that to bring out a viewpoint. You know, real faith, you can't shake it. You don't look. You can't. Even when the heavens are brass, when nothing is happening, real faith, you cannot. They're not going to give up. You can stay right there. You know, it might take you 7 times to pray for that rain that God already promised. Your name is Elijah. But you're going to stay right there with it. First time around, you send your servant to go. He said, come stay. I said, nothing. He said, well, fine. Go look again. I'm going to pray some more. Go to look again. God already told him the rain is coming. What you got to pray for? This is how faith works, ladies and gentlemen. You know, God has said it. You know it. But sometimes you got to pray it through. And it won't be once. Maybe 7 times. Maybe however long it takes. And take you 1 week, 1 month, 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. 5 years. You stay right there with it. And you keep believing. And you keep declaring it. And you stay with the word. Just stay right there. No matter how long it takes. And until you see it happen. And so finally the Lord said, wow. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. And let me come at this point. Let me tell you that there are different kinds of faith that Jesus encountered, you know, throughout his ministry and is trying to teach his disciples and so on. This one, along with the centurion that said to Jesus, speak the word only. You don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word because I understand these things. I myself am a man under authority. You know, I command soldiers. You know, and if I say to one, and you know how it is in the military, you say, you must do what your commanding officer says. No questions asked. You know, if you don't, well, you're facing court martial. So you got to do what they say. That's it. So he understood it. And he said, look, when I say to one, do this, he does it. When I say come, they come. When I say go, they go. Like given commandment, they do it. I understand how it works. And so he's using his position to talk to the Lord. He said, look, I understand how this works. And I know you are a man of authority too in your realm. All you got to do is speak that word. You don't even need to come to my house. Just say it. And Jesus said, my goodness, I've not seen this kind of faith. I haven't seen it. Not even in all of Israel. He called it great faith. You know, so now that was some kind of faith that took the word of God just like that. You didn't have to, you know, worry about whether it's going to work or not. Just say, you just say the word. Because I know that's who you are. You have the authority to say things and it gets done. So you say it, and I know it'll be done. Just say it. Jesus called that great faith. You know, so he likened that kind of faith and also the one that was resilient, that would not back down, no matter the obstacles and difficulties along with that prayer that came along. She wouldn't back down and she got what she wanted. This man also, he just, you know, this kind of faith is called great faith. But I guarantee you, there were some others that Jesus called little or no faith. So there are many kinds of faith that Jesus encountered, you know, during his ministry and his teaching. But what kind of faith is yours? Are you the kind of faith that says, but speak the word only? You don't even need to come. Just say the word right here. You know, my servant may be miles away. He will be healed. You just say the word. That's it. Just say it right now. Do you have that kind of faith? What is your kind of faith? You know, you can read that story in Matthew chapter 8. Powerful, powerful faith. You say, well, just speak the word only. You know, you see that in verse 8. Just speak the word only. I know it'll be done. That's great faith. Jesus called it. The woman also, great faith. But on the other hand, there are many times his own closest disciples, Jesus had to rebuke them for having no faith at all. I mean, you know, there is this story that we told multiple times, but it goes with this lesson. Story Mark chapter 4, and Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and they panicked. Well, Jesus ended up rebuking them and said, you know, in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, you know, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? no faith. So it looks as if they had no faith at all. In another place, because, you know, why are you of little faith? So, you know, that kind of faith, Jesus wasn't impressed. There are some faith that impressed him, some faith did not impress him. You know, every time they were doubtful, he said, why is it that you are of so little faith? How come you have no faith? How come did you doubt? This brings me to what I call faith blockers. You know, doubt and fear will block your faith. You know, just doubt. I mean, there's a story in Matthew chapter 14 of Peter taking that adventure of faith. Verses 30 to 32, we see where he was about drowning. He stepped out of the boat. He believed Jesus. When Jesus said, you know, everybody saw him walking on water, everybody was afraid. But Peter always speaks up. He said, well, Master, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, well, come. You know, and he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter walked on the water. Now, John, James, and the rest of them, they cannot boast that they did it, walk on the water. They might have laughed at him when he was trying to sink, but he actually did walk on that water. I don't know how long or how many steps he took, but he did walk on the water. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was walking on the water. And then he turned around and saw that the waves were boisterous. Waves were boisterous the whole time, you know. And then he noticed that he began to be afraid. He began to doubt. And Jesus said, well, wherefore did you doubt? You know, why do you doubt? So we see that those are faith blockers. You know, you got to keep on believing, even though the situation looks like it's going the opposite direction. That's what Jesus was saying. I mean, this man, he knew he could not walk on water. He knew it. I mean, nobody ever seen such a thing until Jesus. And then said, but he said, look, if the master bids me, then I know I can do it. If, as long as he says, I know I can do it. And Jesus said, fine, do it then. Jesus, I mean, look, if you believe it, Jesus said, well, fine, do it. So, and the man, he jumped out of the boat. He was walking on the water. And then all of a sudden he said, I can't walk on water. You know, I began to see the waves. I began to sink. And Jesus was showing us here, these are faith blockers. When you begin to doubt, once you start out believing, don't doubt. Just stay right there with it. No matter what comes against that thing, stay right there. Don't doubt it. Just stay with it. Now, doubt is a powerful, powerful, powerful faith blocker. It is so powerful that we're going to talk about it tomorrow. You know, I'm only about halfway. I don't even know if I'm halfway through the things I want to say on this faith. But there is so much to it. You know, that, you know, faith, Jesus taught it one way. He taught it the other way. He even said, look, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, to which the man said, Lord, I believe, but, you know, there might be some elements of unbelief. Help me. You know, so now, all things are possible to him that believes. We talked about that maybe just yesterday or the other day. I don't know. We already know that there is nothing impossible with God. You know, I think it was yesterday we were talking about it, when we were talking about when the angel visited Mary and they said, well, with God, nothing shall be impossible. But, you know, Jesus also said, with you, if you can believe, you can almost be like God in that aspect. Because with God, nothing is impossible. But you, if you believe, then nothing is impossible to you as well. So in that particular aspect, you can be like God. Just believe. Hallelujah. Well, it's not as simple as it is, but Jesus made it sound simple. But it's not really that hard. Tomorrow I'll lay out the how you do it, step by step. But Jesus said it can be done. But you gotta believe that it can be done. And so this is faith. It's kind of like a mystery, but it's not a mystery. It's really simple. And so that's why Jesus, he looked for children sometimes to when he was want to teach faith. He said, well, look at these little children. Well, you got to believe like them. You got to be like them. You know, otherwise you can't get anything from the Lord. Children, they believe anything the parents will say. The parents say, look, I'm taking you to the park tomorrow. From the moment you say it, that's it. You know, you're not going to hear the end of it until you take them to that park. They're going to come. You know, come party. They say, I'm going to the park. You know, this and this and this. They just bug you. You know, if you tell them you're taking them out somewhere in the morning, they come to you at night. They wake up. They come and wake you up. Is it morning yet? Are we going yet? I mean, once you say it, that's it. You know, and they come to you because they know you have, you know, they know you're good for it. And they want to ask you something. They know you can give it to them. They ask. The children just have simplistic faith like that. They don't psychoanalyze everything. You know, and, but people, after a while, you know, that's why sometimes you see, so, you know, God will help some, you know, young believers that are just coming in. They receive miracles just like that because they just believe God. After a while, they start to dissect it. When you start to dissect it, you know, well, then you must believe that God is. It's not, you don't have to figure God out before you believe it. That's the mystery of faith. You first believe. Well, how can you believe? Well, the Bible says, well, you believe because you hear the word. Well, you know, how can I believe just because I heard the word? Many people heard it, but they didn't believe. God grants you faith to believe. That's the secret. You know, God grants certain people to believe. You know, so I'm going to leave today's lesson here, but there is more that I want to say about faith. When you ask in from the Lord, though, you must ask nothing doubting. You must ask in faith. Matthew 21 verse 22 says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, so the believing underscores your asking. Now, again, in Mark 11 verses 23 and 24, Jesus gives some incredible principles of, you know, how he calls out this doubt and so forth. He said, look, when you say it, you must not doubt it, but you must believe that the things you said will come to pass and you will have what you said. I mean, just think about it. We'll talk some more about it tomorrow. If you can say it to this mountain, be thou removed, right? And cast you into yonder sea or whatever. And you do not doubt it in your heart. I guarantee you, almost 100% of people that say such things, they doubt it. That's why it doesn't come to pass. You know, because you just doubt it. Well, I mean, really? Well, yeah. The moment you say really, well, you've doubted it. But Jesus said, look, if you can say it and don't doubt it, but you believe that those things you said will come to pass. He said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Just say it. Well, I said, well, how can it be? Well, Jesus did it one time. He said to the fig tree that wasn't producing, it's actually in that place, in that same Mark 11. He said to the tree, he said, you're done. No man eat of you anymore. And he just walked away. And the tree looked exactly the same like it did before Jesus said anything to it. The Bible actually says Jesus answered the tree. He just spoke to the tree. You know, Jesus has an answer for everything. If you are producing as an answer, if you are not producing as an answer, Jesus answered the tree. It's like the tree was speaking back to him. He answered the tree and said, look, you're done. You know, because you're not producing. And he walked away and he didn't look like anything happened, but it did happen. You know, the tree dried up at the root. Finally, next day it had withered. It might have taken a day to wither, maybe it won't take a few days. But eventually, you know, the evidence was seen of what already happened. You know, same thing. It's how Jesus operated all the time. You know, I've told the lesson of the little boy's lunch that Jesus blessed and put back in the hands of the disciples. You know, that's how Jesus operated. He just blessed the thing, gave them instructions, set them in 50s and so on, and gave it to the people. And he walked away. That's it. He didn't even look back. It was done. It's up to the disciples now to do something with it. He's done. End of story. You know, it didn't matter whether it was just, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, it didn't matter. Okay. What is so little among so many? It doesn't matter to Jesus. He put a blessing on it, put it back in your hands, and he walks away. It's done. As soon as he does it, it's done. He never has to worry about it. Now you got to take that thing and run with it. You know, so the disciples had to take it and run with it. And that's a part of faith that we will describe also tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, let me leave today's lesson here. This is how faith works. It's so deep. You know, I may take maybe three lessons on just this subject of faith to see how. And the goal at the end of this, by the grace of God, is it's not just academic, you know, all these scriptures, but are you actually, you know, practicing these things? Can you practice telling the Lord, speak the word only? Well, the Lord said, I already speak. Just go find the scripture that I said about it. And then you go find it. And when you see it, can you run with it? It's that simple. Whether it looks like it or not, you know, but if you doubt along the way, then you got to start all over. See, that's the thing. You can't doubt. If you doubt, you got to start all over. You know, so don't doubt the word of God. Take the word of God as it is. Faith is fully and intentionally trusting him. The fully part is this. Let me say that today. I'll talk about that some more tomorrow. I'll say that and then we'll wrap it up. When Jesus told the disciples, he gave them instructions. You got to do it exactly as he says. When the Lord gives you instruction, you got to do it exactly. You can't do it any other way. That's the fully part. You can't take half of it. You got to understand first for what he's saying, embrace it and understand it and execute it just exactly like he said. Can't do it some other way. You know, if Jesus said, one time Jesus said to Peter, well, you know, go to the lake and cast in your net and or hook or whatever, the first fish that you catch, you know, open them out, you'll find a coin and then go pay the taxes for me and you. You got to do it exactly like he said it. If you do it differently, it's not going to work. You got to follow those things. We'll talk more about that. That's the fully part. Then intentional part is, look, it takes action. You know, takes determination. You got to be intentional in seeing it through. Can't just start and quit. Intentional. Keep coming. You come the one time, you missed it. Somebody stepped into the water ahead of you. Come again next time. You know, and then you missed it. Somebody is quicker than you to step in the water. Come again next time. The man was intentional. He kept coming. You know, and so on and so forth. So that's our lesson today. Part one of this fruit of the spirit called faith. Maybe we'll conclude in part two or perhaps we'll take part three. I don't know. It's such a deep subject. But I've got a prayer here that I want to pray. Then I'm going to yield for us to talk about it. You know, Mark chapter 9 verse 24. The man said, Lord, I believe. Jesus said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to you. And well, the man said, Lord, I believe, but you know, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer. You know, do you believe? There might be some areas of unbelief. Ask the Lord to help you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, and if you can ask him for help, he'll help you. Let us come therefore boldly. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and 16, let's come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, and come and ask him for help with this subject of faith. Come boldly, you know, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So come boldly. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We come boldly to the throne of grace today to ask for your help. We need your help. Lord, we believe, or we want to, and we pray that you help us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I believe, the man said, help thou my unbelief. I come, Lord, boldly to the throne of grace to ask you. There's no need to be timid. The Lord invites us to come. So, Lord, help me. I come. Help me, Lord. In the volume of the book, these things are written of me. I come to do your will, Lord. Everything that's written of me in the volume of that book, I believe it. And where are areas where I'm lacking in faith? Help me, Lord. Help my brothers. Help my sisters that are here with us now. Those that might be listening in later on to believe God, you know. And even as you said to Martha, if you can only believe, you see the glory of God. I pray, Lord, that we will believe, that we may see the glory of God in every situation, the situation that we're in, whatever it is that we're trusting God for. Give us also this, this grace to be resilient, to be persistent, and to not give up or give in. Stay right there. Keep on believing God until He satisfies our longing soul. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.